Go ahead, Brother Pinder.
Yes, I stand to be corrected. I want to do, I want to ask a question.
Go ahead.
See, because I read in the Bible, the Bible says, 6 days shall thou live and do all that thou hast to do, and the 7 day thou shalt rest. Now, yeah. You all are saying that Saturday is the Sabbath day, and you all are saying the Catholic Church is saying the Sunday is the Sabbath day.
No, we did not.
You
say
may be right.
No, sir.
Let me explain myself, and then I'll listen to you, sir.
No, but I just want to clarify something. We did not say that the Catholic Church said that Sunday was the Sabbath. We didn't say that. Okay?
Okay. Anyway, from my understanding, I believe you said something as though the Catholic had changed the Sabbath. What I am saying, as far as we in the physical knows and our concern is we want to serve God. And I feel like
Amen.
Any day out of the seven can be a Sabbath day. As far as I'm concerned, every day is a Sabbath day when it comes to serving God.
But Pender, just sorry to interject. One question, like, okay, you see that point you just made just now, that any day can be the Sabbath day? Well, me and Brother Julian and Brother Renick have been asking ministers of the God to share with us that scripture, where it could be any day. And tonight I'm asking you, maybe you came across it and you can share with us in the ministers.
That's what I'm asking you to show me in the Bible where Saturday is a Sabbath day or Sunday is a Sabbath day.
Okay, would be
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, or Friday for that matter of fact.
Okay.
I am saying, in my opinion, that's why I say I stand to be corrected. And I'm open for correction. Because I want to learn as much about God as I possibly can.
Amen, brother.
Okay, Brother Pendant, I'm going to attempt to answer the question on the Sabbath day and to indicate how we could be sure which day is the Sabbath day. The first place we could look for to find out which day is the seventh day is your calendar. I think if you look on your calendar, it starts at Sunday, which is the first day, then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday,
Friday. May I ask a question before you go any further?
Hold on. I'm going to go through a couple of points.
Ask a question.
Who invented the calendar?
No, Mr. Pinder, that's what I'm saying. Let me finish, and I'm gonna go through all the possibilities first. The first place you could look is your calendar. The second place, if you have a concern, you could check your dictionary. You could look up first day, and you could look up seventh day, or you could look up Sabbath, Saturday, and Sunday, and they will indicate which day is the seventh day. If all that fails, then you could look to the Bible itself. Which day do we keep as Easter as Christians? We say that Christ rose on the first day of the week. And what day do we celebrate that as? Easter Sunday. So if Sunday is the first day of the week, which day is the seventh? If Sunday is the first, then naturally Saturday has to be the seventh.
My brother, now, may I interject something here?
Yes, sir.
Someplace in China or someplace else, they Christmas is kept on another day of the year. And we keep it up. We in the English-speaking Caribbean, in the Caribbean, and in this part of the world, call it the 25th of December Christmas. Someplace in China, it is a different day.
Yes.
So as far as
Brother Pinder, you said Christmas. We are dealing with the Sabbath. Now, I am trying to show you all the possibilities that we today could be assured. The next place that we could go is we could check a group of people that have been keeping the Sabbath since the Sabbath was given to them on Mount Sinai. That is the Jewish people. The Jews have been keeping the Sabbath from, they got it from God on Mount Sinai up to this day. And if you happen by chance to go to Jerusalem or the Middle East or Israel, even now, and there are persons in the Bahamas who have been, and you could talk to them. I spoke to a lady who I did some work for, and she was telling me that she went to Jerusalem, and she said, this is what she told me, I've never been there, this is what she told me, she said on Friday evening the hotel closed down basically, and that was on Friday night, the Sabbath, and on Saturday. And if you go to North Miami Beach in Miami, and where most Bahamians go, you will see that a lot of businesses closed down. And if you go to Chicago and New York, where I've been, I've seen that on the Sabbath there are certain parts of these places where the Jews close their businesses on the Sabbath day. So in today, we have every indication, and even if you check every Christian denomination literature, they will tell you that Saturday is the Sabbath. Okay?
I am saying you may be right. I still stand to be corrected more.
Okay.
As far as I'm concerned, Well, I am looking at the way I was brought up.
Have you
looking at the way you were brought up, and because of your Bible teaching or your Bible reading or your Bible understanding, you are looking at another day. Suppose we were to go to China and they used the 25th of December as not Christ's birthday, January, like they normally do someplace in China. They say he's born in January.
Mr. Pender, all due respect, sir. You said the Sabbath. You didn't say Christmas.
I'm just using the day in reference.
But if you change the day, you change the whole context of the discussion. You said the Sabbath. I was trying to show to you, based on all the information that we have today, that the Sabbath is Saturday. And like you said, I stand to be corrected too. But all the literature I've read from all the denominations, Catholic, Anglicans, Presbyterian, Lutherans, Seventh-day Adventists, Baptists, Jehovah's Witness, they all have said that the Saturday is the Sabbath. In terms of Christianity, there's no discussion on that. The only discussion that we see from time to time is should we still keep the Sabbath? Okay, so now what we're going to do is we're going to deal with the second part of your question, which talks about you're talking about the Catholic Church changing it. We will answer that now.
We can hang up and we'll listen to the response.
I want you to clear the 25th of December for me. I'm trying to get my mind.
Mr. Pender, I'm going to give you a number now, right? I'm going to give you a telephone number that you could call at about tomorrow morning, and we will discuss it because we want to try to get through as many callers this afternoon. You could call
my brother.
322-622-6273. You could give that number a call tomorrow.
6373.
Or we could put you on hold and you can give your telephone number to the producers and I'll call you.
Well, I can give you my telephone number and you can call me.
Okay, hold on. Hold on
for the producer and they'll get a telephone number from you and I'll call you tomorrow morning.
I'm going to put you on hold and the producer's going to answer line 5 and they will take your phone number and we'll call you as soon as we get off the air.
Alright, sir.
Okay. Alright. Brother Paul, could you answer the second part of that question, please? How do we know that the Catholic Church changed the Sabbath day, and how do we know the original day? The Bible did not call the days of the week by name.
Well, one of the most honest person I saw came up with a very serious comment here, and his name is Father Leo Broderick, and he wrote this in the year May 21st, 1995, and he said these comments. He says, perhaps the boldest thing and the most major change the Church ever did happened on the first century, he said. The first day, the Sabbath day, was changed from Saturday to Sunday. The day of the Lord was chosen, he said, not from any direct note from the Scriptures, but from the Church's sense of its own power. The day of the resurrection, the day of Pentecost, 50 days later, came the first day of the week. So this would be known as a new Sabbath. But listen to this comment. But people who think the Scriptures should be the sole authority should logically become Seventh-day Adventists and keep the Sabbath day holy. Father Leo Broderick was an honest man. He penned the truth laid under the unction of the Holy Ghost. The thing I like what he said is, and people who think the Scripture should be the sole authority, and the reason why he made that comment is because the Catholic Church don't only go by the Scriptures, they also go by the tradition of the Church. But most people who believe the Bible and the Bible only go by what the Scriptures say. See, at our church, our ministers don't override the Scriptures. Among ourselves as brothers in Christ, we don't override the Scriptures. And that's why when the gentleman called saying that, the brother Keane married a sister, I said, no problem, okay, we could toss that out. Because I don't have no scriptures to show that he married a sister. But I believe he married a sister. So let's toss it out. We would not, you know what I mean, get all hang up over that. And later on down the program, I'll read you a statement that the papacy asked a few years ago to all other Sunday churches. And up to this day, they have not answered the question as yet. So keep listening as I read the statement later on in the night.
Yes, okay, we're going to go to the phone lines. We're going to go to the phone lines right now. Line 1, you have a comment? Hello?
Hello?
Yes. Yes. Line 1, you have a comment? Hello, yeah, go ahead.
This is me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay. I'd like to answer that gentleman who you all had on the phone just now. one need to see, people need to be educated and need to have the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct their path when they come on the radio or when they sit down to study the scripture, need to ask God for guidance. And Renwick just said just now that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 18, or verse 17 and 18, it says, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth shall pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law, till all shall be fulfilled." Verse 19 says, "Whosoever therefore shall break one of the least of these commandments and shall teach men so, he shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven." Every Bible student who wants to be honest, even those pastors who promote Sundays, agrees with the Seventh-day Adventists and all people who keep the true Sabbath day that Saturday is the Sabbath. And every one of them can go to the Roman Catholic Library tomorrow morning and they can buy the latest catechism that was written by Pope John Paul II, who just passed away almost a year ago, or they could get the Converse Catechism, and they can read in there for themselves the Converse Catholic Doctrinal Catechism, and they read in there for themselves where the Roman Catholic Church themselves says that they are responsible for changing the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday. They say the Pope have the authority to do so. They have transferred the solemnity, that is the sacredness and the solemnness of whatever was happening on the Sabbath days on Saturday. They said that they had the power to transfer it from Saturday to Sunday, the venerable day of the sun.
Yes.
And everyone knows that Constantine, along with Pope Gregory, made this decision in 321 AD.
Yes.
So there's no contradiction on which day is the Sabbath. Only if people want to be ignorant.
All right.
Say that they don't know which day is the Sabbath. If I go to the altar tomorrow and get married to a woman,
could you cut your comment?
20, 30 years from now, let me make this
point. No, we're trying to get through all our callers this evening.
Yeah, just hold on. 20, 30 years from now, can I say I don't remember which woman I married to? Marriage is as sacred as the Sabbath, and the Sabbath is as sacred as marriage. Those two institutions God established in the Garden of Eden, and they have never been changed. Ministers of the gospel today, because of greed and popularity,
yes,
they decide that they want to do away with the Sabbath so that they could use people as their pawns to power their own lifestyle.
Okay, we need
amen. Amen and amen and amen and amen.
Thank you very much. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Let me just say this here now. It has never been and will never be the policy of Turning Point Ministries to attack any denomination. The information that we are sharing to you here is not information that is secretive or nothing like that. The information that we are sharing here can be obtained from the different organizations' own official written documentation. And if you want us to give that information to you, you can give us a call at 322-6273, and we will be happy to point out the sources. If we don't on the air, we'll be happy to point out the sources or there where we got this information from. Go ahead, Randolph. What is your comment?
Yes, Mr. Ferguson said he saw where remember the Sabbath days in the Bible. Does he accept that?
I guess
he needs to review Genesis chapter Exodus 20. He probably tore that page out of his Bible But he can look to Exodus 28 through 11 and read it for himself. And it has nothing to do with denomination. And I'll hang up.
Thank you very much, Brother Randall. Go ahead, Mr. Sweeting. What's your comment or question, sir? Hello, Mr. Sweeting? Hello? Hello? I guess Mr. Sweeting, call back, Mr. Sweeting. Our telephone numbers are 325-5403 or 325-5404 and 325-5405. Or for those of you in the family of islands, you can give us a call that is toll-free at area code 242-300-8255. Now, Brother Paul, I still think that maybe some of our listeners, at least I am, still listening for you to... You said that the Catholic changed the Sabbath or changed the day of worship or however you want to put it. I'm still waiting for you to give us some type of documentation on that information. Can you give it to us?
Yes, Brother Julian. If you should get a book called The Convict's Catechism, written by the Reverend Peter Journeyman. And this is the 1946 edition. On page 50 of this book, it says this about the third commandment. And the reason why this is the third commandment is because the Catholic Church took out the second commandment. There is no second commandment in their writings because they still bow down to images. And I mean, today they even bow down to the Pope. Now, how they arrive at that, only God one know. You know what I mean? It's a fulfillment of the scriptures that men are bowing down to mortal men like you and I. But the third commandment in their catechism says, question, what is the third commandment? Answer, the third commandment is to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Question, which is the Sabbath day? Answer, Saturday is the Sabbath day. Question, why do we observe Sunday instead of Saturday? Answer, we observe Sunday instead of Saturday because the Catholic Church transferred the solemnity from Saturday to Sunday. Question, why did the Catholic Church substitute Sunday for Saturday? The Catholic Church substitutes Sunday for Saturday because Christ rose from the dead on Sunday and the Holy Ghost fell on the disciples or the apostles on Sunday. That is true. But did the Bible say because Christ raised from the grave on a Sunday, you must worship now on Sunday? Well, the Bible lays down a principle which you do if you want to remember Christ's resurrection. You read that in Romans chapter 6, I think that is, where he says you and I should be baptized and we should go down into the water and come up and walk in the newness of life. That's Romans chapter 6. He never once said that they should do what they did. But you know, it was predicted by our brother Daniel. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, Daniel penned these words, and how true they are today. When Daniel was horrified by what he saw, and the Lord told Daniel to seal up the book, and this information will reveal at the end of time. Well, the end of time is here, and just like Daniel penned it, that's just how it played out. And what you read in Daniel chapter 7 verse 25, and it says, and he shall speak great words against the Most High, and he shall weld the saints of the Most High, and he shall think to change times and laws, and it shall be given us unto time and dividing of time. In a few moments, we'll explain what that scripture is all about as we take our next caller. That's holy on the line.
Go ahead, Mr. Sweeting.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay.
Good.
Oh, Mr. Sweeting, sorry.
Mr. Sweeting.
All right, sorry for that.
Okay.
Go ahead. What's your question?
I would like to know, because Hebrews 8 is really disturbing me, and I would like for you to explain Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 10 for me.
Hebrews
6.
Hebrews 8.
I'm sorry, Hebrews 8, verses 6 through 10.
Okay, you want to hang up?
I would hang up and I would listen to you.
Thank you very much for your call.
You're welcome, sir.
All right. Brother Paul, could you take a look at... But before we do that, let Brother Renwick, could you read Hebrews chapter 8, verse 6 through 10 for us, please?
Certainly, and it says, but now he hath obtained a more excellent ministry, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant, which was established upon better promises. For if that first covenant had been faultless, then there should be no place have been sought for the second. For finding fault with them, he said, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, when I shall make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant which I made with their fathers in the day when I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they continued not in my covenant and regarded them not, saith the Lord. And verse 10 it says, finally, for this is the covenant that I will make with that. So, pardon me. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people.
But a lot of people like to try to use this text to try to say that because of this, you can the covenant's been changed and we're not living in a new dispensation. But the key is in verse 8 of Hebrews chapter 8, and finding forth with them. The them is very important. Is the them the covenant, which is the commandments, or is the them the people? And we believe the them is the people. He says, for finding fault with them. Is there any fault with the commandments? The commandments is faultless. It's because of the breaking of the commandments we have problems today. And how we know that? Because in that's Proverbs chapter 3, it tells us that if we should keep the law, we'll have peace and land of days. So the apostle Paul said, finding fault with them, with the people. And he says in verse 10 that he'll make a new covenant, qualifying what Jeremiah chapter 33 said. And this law now is not written on tables of stone, but now written on the tables of our heart. And if you continue reading in Jeremiah 33, you'll see that now the time has come where you have to teach our neighbors anymore. Each neighbor will know what is right from wrong based on that law being written in their heart, being convicted by the Holy Ghost. So the key to understanding this here is the new covenant is just where it is written. The old one was written on stone. The new one now is written on the tables of our heart. And that's good news, that every man on planet Earth has the law now written in his heart, or what should I say, really written in his mind. Because we don't think with our hearts, we think with our minds. And that's why the Bible says, let this mind be in you and I, which is also in Christ Jesus. And once we have the mind of Christ, then we will do the works of Christ. Once we have the mind of Christ, then we will want to obey like Christ. As a matter of fact, in Luke chapter 4 verse 16, the Bible says, and as Christ's custom was, he went to the synagogue every Sabbath day and stood up unto read. This is very important, that the finding fault with them, ladies and gentlemen, is finding fault with the children of Israel, who were rebellious. They went against the counsel of God in so many ways. One time they wanted, the Lord was feeding them manna from heaven, and he told them that the manna will fall 6 days. 5 days, it will be a normal falling. Don't try to get them to save over for the next day, because it will spoil. On the sixth day, he said, I will send you a double portion of manna. And if you should eat all, remember there will be none on the seventh day. Well, there came a time, if you should read that story through, that they got so rebellious and they got so upset, they didn't want to eat the manna anymore. They wanted to eat some meat. And the Lord told his prophets, you better tell those people that if they eat that meat, they're going to die with it between their teeth. And you know, the prophecy was fulfilled. They had so much meat to eat. Just like Jesus told the prophet to tell them, and they reject the word of the Lord, they die with it between their teeth.
Just to back up what you said, Brother Paul, and you know, we made this comment earlier at the beginning of the show, and we said that Abraham did not keep the law of his own strength. None of the prophets, none of the men in the Bible that the Bible identified as holy and righteous men kept the law of their own strength. What did they do? They kept it through faith. Through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and through the empowering of His Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that empowered Abraham, that empowered Daniel, that empowered Ezekiel, is the same Spirit that empowered John the Baptist, that empowered Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the same Spirit that will empower us today through faith to keep God's law. And what does it say in Romans chapter 9 and verse 30? And it says, what shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. We are not saved by keeping the law. We are saved by faith through Jesus Christ. But when we are saved through faith, we will not then turn around and say, well, we don't have to keep the law because we have faith, because we have grace. No. When we are saved through faith, through grace, we then obey God's word. We then obey God's law because we love Him and we are empowered by His Holy Spirit through faith to keep His word. So this is why the children of Israel fell, because they tried to keep it. They, number one, they turned away from it, like Paul said, and number two, those that tried to keep it, they tried to keep it of their own strength, of their own power, by the and tried to combine it with the traditions and the teachings of men, and that is why they stumbled, not through faith, but of their own works, were they trying to become saved.
Thank you very much, Brother Renwick. If you want to give us a call, it's at 325 325- 325-5404 or 325-5405. Or if you're in a family violence, you can give us a call toll-free at 242-300-8255. Let us go to Miss Sweeting. Mr. Sweeting.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
Yes, I would like to ask you a question. You said you made a statement just now stating that written it on their hearts, and their hearts and their mind is two different things.
Yeah.
Your heart, when God written it on our heart, we as human look at our hearts, but in the body. But Christ, when Christ look at our hearts, if you look at the Bible, if you really read your Bible good, the heart and the mind is the same. So you can't say your heart is different from your mind. See, we look at heart, what's in here, this is an organ. But when Christ said he'll write it on our hearts, that means we don't think, you can't think with your heart in here. So when he says he's going to write it in our hearts, that means that was for our minds.
I agree, that's what I said.
No, you said...
I agree with you, sir.
Heart is different from your mind. Sir, you made that statement just now.
If you misunderstood me, let me clear it up right now. When I said he's going to write it on our hearts, I said he's going to write the law on our minds. It's our mind. As a matter of fact, it's our character. It's the only thing we're going to take to heaven. We're going to put on a brand new body.
I know, because I speak where the Bible speaks, and I silent where the Bible silent. And by the way, I'm a member of the Church of Christ, and we speak where the Bible speaks, and we silent where the Bible is silent. And we believe, see, God hates sin from the beginning.
Do you believe that?
God hates sin from the beginning. God, sin then came into the world after sin came in. Because you remember when God told Cain that sin is knocking at his door and he must be able to master it. God hates sin from the beginning.
Amen.
God hates sin from the beginning. God didn't hate sin.
But, excuse me, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, and what is sin?
Sin is... It's when you turn away from God.
No, sir.
What is the Bible definition of sin?
What is the Bible definition of sin? Hello?
Yes, sir. Sin is a reproach.
No.
What is the Bible
definition of sin?
The Bible definition?
Yes, sir.
Of sin?
Yes.
Well, I don't sense it's transgression against God.
No. What does the Bible say is, you just said a minute ago, that you are silent where the Bible is silent.
And speak where the Bible speaks.
Yes. So what is the Bible definition of sin?
For our listeners tonight, they're listening. They want to know what the Bible says sin is.
Yes. What is it? Hello?
Yes, sir.
What is the Bible definition of sin?
It's just the transgression. Sin is when you transgress against God.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
Are you going to give it to us?
Well, you could give. I just called to say about just to make that comment.
All right. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Brother Renrick, Brother Paul, does the Bible give a definition of sin?
Yes, it do.
Could you tell us where that definition is? I think the Bible gives two definitions for sin.
First John chapter 3 and verse 4. That's one.
Okay.
And it says, whosoever committed sin transgresseth also what?
The law.
Okay. For sin is what?
The transgression of the law.
There's your answer, ladies and gentlemen.
And Romans chapter 3 says, for the wages of sin, singular, is still death. And 1 John 2, 3, and 4 says, and hereby we do know that we know Jesus Christ. And he that says, I know Jesus Christ and keeping not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. I mean, these scriptures are so clear, ladies and gentlemen, that the people be so confused. You know, the brother just called us tonight, said he called from the Church of Christ. You know, well, me and Brother Julian had a little talk over by the Church of Christ, and the sad part about it was when we went over there, we wanted to open the floor for discussion, but they wouldn't allow us to do it. You know what I mean? But we had a good Holy Ghost time with me and Brother Julian talking with our brothers over there at the Church of Christ. We love them dearly. You know, we have a little point of, but one of our big differences is they too hold on to Sunday. But other principles, you know, we can see eye to eye on. But when it comes to the Sunday principle, they have not yet been able to show us, well, you know, we need to come over where they are, because Sunday now is the true day that Christ has laid down for his people.
Let us go back to the phone lines. We're going to find a text to give you the other definition of sin. Just give me a minute to find it in my Bible. While I wait to find it in my Bible, I will go to the next caller. Ms. Morse, go ahead. Hello?
Okay. Yes.
Go ahead, ma'am.
I just wanted to clarify something I'm going to say, and then I'll hang up and listen.
Go ahead, ma'am.
You said the Catholic Church took the third commandment of the Bible?
No, the second commandment.
The second commandment of the Bible?
No. We said that if you read the way the Ten Commandments is written in the Catholic Catechism, Mm-hmm. It is different as is written in Exodus 20. That's what we are saying. If you have any Catholic document that gives you the Ten Commandments, compare it with Exodus chapter 20, and you will see what the differences are.
Well, I have my Catholic Bible here, and I'm looking at Exodus chapter 20 right now.
Since you have a Bible, so like, what does your Bible say in Exodus chapter 20? Begin at verse 4. What does your Bible say in Exodus 20, verse 4?
It says, "Thou shalt not make any, mm-hmm. thou shalt make unto thee any graven image or likeness of anything that is in heaven above."
Right.
But we don't bow down to no image.
You don't?
No, I think you need to come and come and visit our service one Sunday. We don't bow down.
Okay, ma'am. What are we going to do? What we're going to do is, I'm going to put you on to our producers. And we're going to get your telephone number, and we'll call you, and we'll do just that.
Well, okay, but I still have more questions, brief, and then I'll hang up. Okay, he said in 321 A.D.,
yeah.
is when it was changed.
Yeah, that's what historical facts are produced. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, but in 321 A.D., even though none of us was here, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday was not there. This was just named after. These days were named after, way after Christ, way after. So where did you find the Bible Monday or Tuesday? And my book says 7 days should I labor and do all thy work. The 6 days should I labor and do all thy work. The seventh is the Sabbath. To me, I interpret that every day is a Sabbath day. It's just that you take one to rest. This is what I'm thinking. Explain that to me. Because I know Monday is from the moon, Sunday is from the sun.
Ma'am, many studies have been done on the naming of days and stuff like that. And I think, I don't remember the website, or it has something to do with America, that you could do a research and find out that the days have not changed. The only thing that has changed is the naming of the days.
But it was not days during Christ's time.
Hold on. There's only one day that was named in the Bible. Okay? Only one day was named in the Bible, and that is the seventh day. The seventh day was called the Sabbath. And
He said 7 days should thou labor and do all thy work.
You go to Exodus chapter 20.
6 days should thou labor and do all thy work, and the seventh is the Sabbath.
No, miss. If you go to Exodus chapter 20, right? You got your Bible open up to Exodus mm-hmm. chapter 20, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you go to verse 10, what does it say at verse 10?
But the 7 days is the Sabbath
right.
of the Lord thy God.
The seventh day.
So you wake six the seventh you relax.
Miss, one thing at a time.
Pray. He didn't say Saturday, Sabbath, those days was not even...
Excuse me a minute. It says that the seventh day is the Sabbath, right? Is that what it said? But the seventh is the Sabbath, he didn't say Saturday was the Sabbath, because those days didn't even have any names then. Miss, all due respect, right? Let us just read what the text says. Let us read for me. Exodus chapter 20, verse 10.
You sure you don't want to read the chapter? What's chapter?
I'll read it. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it?
Yeah, but they didn't say Saturday.
But hold on. You want me to explain to you how it gets Saturday?
My book ain't saying Saturday.
Okay. Let's go to Luke chapter 23. Take your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 23.
It's the Ten Commandments
in
Luke.
Miss. Just bear with me for a minute, please. Okay? I'm not going to take you outside the scriptures.
And a sin is a sin. It's a sin.
If it is a sin to keep Sunday?
A sin? No, you want to know what is a sin. I'm saying a sin is a sin. It's a sin. But all I'm saying
where
is
would I find
we
don't
bow down to no idols.
Where would I find in the Bible?
We don't have anything out of here saying that Saturday is the Sabbath. All it says, 6 days shall thou labor. As far as I'm concerned, 7 days is a Sabbath day. You wake six and then you rest on one.
Okay, ma'am.
Okay, I'll hang up and listen to you.
If you feel that way, there's nothing.
Thank you very much for calling. And listen to our program on Sundays. We are every Sunday at 2 o'clock on ZNS 1540 from 2 o'clock to 2:30. Our program is Turning Point, presented by the Turning Point Ministries. And on our program on Sunday, we'll share some more comments. And as a matter of fact, we didn't really come in tonight to talk about the Sabbath. That's why we opened the lines.
Okay.
But you know, but it appears if this is really where the crutch of the matter meet, that everyone really, people really want to be saved. People want to know that they're going down the right path. You know, maybe what I'll tell you, ma'am, is maybe you can call me off here if you care, 322-6273. And if you want to invite me to go and speak with your priest, I'll be willing to go. I mean, I want to know the truth myself. And if you can set up an appointment with me and you go and sit down and speak with him, by all means, I'll even take a day off to sit down and you, him, and me, we can talk in the Holy Ghost within our midst. If you can do that, by all means, ma'am, I'll greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, okay.
So next week, you know, when we come on there, we can say, you know, we were telling some lies and it's not true. And,
okay.
You know, we'd be happy to sit down with you and your priest or your pastor, whatever. The number, once again, is 322-6273, and my name is Paul Miller.
Okay, and remember also, the book says, judge not, so thou shall not be judged. Okay,
right.
Have a nice evening.
You too.
All
have
right.
A good evening to you and your all family, ma'am.
You know, let's just take our time and read this carefully to make sure we're not mistaken here, okay? Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Any 6 days thou shalt labor and do all your work, but any seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
Sir.
Is that what it says?
No, sir.
That must be what it says. Let's go back and read it one more time.
No, sir.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. It didn't say pick any random day out of the seven. It didn't say pick any day. It says the seventh day. If you go to the calendar and you strip off the names, you can still see which day is the first day of the week, which day is the seventh day of the week. And if you go by those numbers and you go by the Bible, you will know which day is the seventh day. Let's follow the Bible and the Bible only, and not the traditions of men. It's not the traditions of men that are going to cause us to be saved or get us into heaven, ladies and gentlemen. It's faith. It's faith in Jesus Christ and obeying His word.
Thank you very much, Brother Renrick. And you could give us a call at 325-5403 or 325-5404 or 325-5405. Or for those of you in the Family Islands, you can give us a call at 242-300-8255. And that is a toll-free call for all of those in the Family of Island. Ladies and gentlemen, like Brother Paul said, we really did not come here tonight to deal specifically with the Sabbath. We just came to deal with general questions that we know that over the past 4 years that have come up, most of our call-in shows have been topic-specific. And we just wanted to open up the phone lines this evening and deal with any issue that might have come up during that time.
As a matter of fact, Brother Julian, none of our shows were dealing with just the Sabbath question alone. Mm-hmm. But every time we opened the lines, the Sabbath thing would always come up. We never had a show. I believe it, as much as we love to tell people the truth about the Sabbath, we never did a complete show on is the Sabbath really true. And we've been here now 1 hour and 33 minutes. And no minutes of the gospel has yet to call to tell us that we are out of order. I mean, this is out of order. For the ministers to be in their homes, and they're listening to us, ladies and gentlemen, trust me. For them to know that the historical facts that we're sharing is not true, the spiritual facts of the church that we're sharing are not true, and they would not call us. Or tomorrow they can call a press conference at ZNES to let us know that we are out of order. By all means, ladies and gentlemen, we want to share the truth with you as it is in Jesus Christ. That's what we believe the Lord has called this ministry for such a time as this. We are a group of men crying in the wilderness, like the prophet Isaiah and Jeremiah and Ezekiel and the great master of all, Jesus Christ himself. And like the Apostle Paul said, the time has come for us to follow Christ, as he too was following Christ.
Let us go back to the phone line. If you have any comments or questions, please feel free to give us a call at 325-5403 or 325-5405 or 325-5404. And those of you in the Family Islands, give us a call at area code 242-300-8255. That's a toll-free call. Go ahead, Brother Smith. Hello.
Hello. Hello.
Yes.
Please make your comment as brief as possible. We have a lot of people call on the line holding, please.
Okay.
Thank you.
I would like to say that I would like to respond to that young lady who just hung up from you all a while ago. I'd like for her to know that I am Percy Miller, and I'd like to use your time to give her my phone number, and she can call me right now if she wants. My number is 361-6750. I was a Roman Catholic, ma'am. I was born and raised in the Roman Catholic Church. And you said that you haven't bowed down to idols in the Roman Catholic Church. I would not argue with you because you may not have done so. But I have done so. In 1957 was the last time I did it in the Roman Catholic Church. It was on a Good Friday that I went to St. Francis Church. And at the end of the service, they have a statue of Jesus that is being held up by an altar boy and an altar girl with a basin of water that towers, and all of the members are asked to walk behind one another to the front of the altar, bow down on your knees and kiss the feet of the image, and then the altar boys wipe it off and another one follows the same. Miss, I did that in the Roman Catholic Church, and I will stand up against your bishop or any of your priests with great respect, and I will confess that to any of them, even if they kill me or put me in jail. That happened to me, Percy Miller, and hundreds of us in 1957 was the last time. So in the Roman Catholic Church, you do worship idols, and you bow to them and don't even know you bow to them, because when you walk in the church, the first thing you do is you put your hand in the water through the door, and you make the sign of the cross, and you bow your knees before you sit in your pew. And the Bible says you should not bow your knees to any graven image. Only God you should bow to, miss. And I want you to know I'm not discriminating against you or anyone that's a Roman Catholic, because if there's anyone in the world that I love Roman Catholics, because that's where I was born and raised. And I love you all dearly, and I want to see you be saved in the kingdom of heaven. And let me tell you something. All Catholics are not going to be lost. Many are going to be saved in the kingdom of heaven.
There are many
Christians in the Roman Catholic Church, as there are in other churches.
Mr. Miller. Could you...
We have plenty of people holding on the lines. We try to see if you guys must cross.
Just let me say this. I am very sorry for all of the people who are calling tonight and who are listening in. I want them to know they cannot expect for their ministers to call in, because they ain't going to call. But I want them to ask God for wisdom that he will give to them. God said, if you ask, he will give it to you freely.
Amen.
And that you will be able to understand the scripture for yourself. And if you need help, you could call me, and I will come and visit you at your home and sit down with you and him.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
I hope that I live. Both of you all could be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for your call.
Amen. Thanks for calling.
Brother Taylor, go ahead. Taylor?
Hello?
Yes, sir. What's your question?
All right. I'm a Roman Catholic, too. But I would like to know why you're bringing in these calendar along with the Bible. I don't believe the calendar have nothing to do with the Bible.
Well, the calendar, the purpose the calendar serve only really is, if you say you're going to meet me on a certain day, which day you going to meet me on? If I say Monday... If I say meet me someday, which day you gonna meet me on?
Meet you someday?
Yeah. If we had a meeting, me and you had a business meeting, how would we know? The reason we do it, the reason we have days, names, all numbers, it doesn't matter which one. It doesn't matter if you have names or numbers. It's only to indicate so that we all be doing the same thing. That's basically all. So you might not necessarily believe in the calendar, but the calendar is what we use. I mean...
the Bible...
Well, let's give it a biblical application. If the Lord said, remember the Sabbath day, the Sabbath day to keep it holy, 6 days you should labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God, how would the people know which day was the seventh day if they were not keeping some track of the days?
And Jesus told us that the children of Israel was wandering in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights. And the flood rained for 40 days and 40 nights. There is a track record, and as a matter of fact, if you want a number count, the best place goes Genesis chapter 1, going on to Genesis chapter 2, which is 1 to 3. And you see there are 7 actual days there. And it's just amazing to me that still, 6,000 years later, we still have a 7-day cycle all around the world. Sunday is a religious holiday, but given to us by whom? If I open my business place downtown on Sunday, I'd be locked up. What I like about my faith is, see, if you don't go downtown with placards telling the government to shut down all the business on Sunday and close them all down on Saturday so people can go to church. See, we believe the Bible principles. If you love me, says Jesus, keep my commandments. We can do just like, you know, that the other day when our old Prime Minister, Mr. Hubert Ingham, was in power, we had some Sunday pastors try to petition the government to try to pass a Sunday law here in the Bahamas. And under the unction of the Holy Ghost, our Prime Minister said, no way. That's not right. Every man should have his free will. Thank God for the Holy Ghost lead. See, now, most people say that Prime Minister did not attend church. But guess what? He was listening to that still small voice. Where God gives every man a free choice. So never you will see our church petitioning the government to offer us on Saturday, to offer us on Sunday, what other churches have on Sunday. See, I can't go downtown to shop on Sunday because most of the stores are closed. But almost the whole world can go downtown on Saturday in the Bahamas and go shopping. See, God does not operate like that. What is good for one, it should be good for all. Another point comes to mind is, if I don't go to Junkanoo, but I'll use Junkanoo as an example. Have you ever noticed that when Junkanoo falls on a Sunday, they shift it over to a Monday? But if it falls on God's holy Sabbath day, it's business as usual? How come? How come the Christian brothers are so selfish that Sabbath keepers cannot participate in the Junkanoo festival when it falls on a Saturday because they have to be the church, obeying the Lord? Now, we're not crazy about Junkanoo. None of the members here are turning point. As far as I can say, I don't call it Junkanoo, I call it junk or hell. Because nothing good about Junkanoo would lead us to the kingdom of heaven. Junkanoo leads us down a pit road, ladies and gentlemen. As a matter of fact, there are more homes that fall apart during the Junkanoo festival than any other time. Men are so busy placing their costumes, they forget they left their beautiful wife and their children at home. I know a particular lady tell me that when Junkanoo time comes around, she had to take her family for that whole time because her husband's too busy in the Junkanoo shack. He's out of order. That's an abomination that he puts his family on hold to go place his costume in the Junkanoo shack. Think about it, ladies and gentlemen, and the sad part about it is this now has been introduced to our government schools, teaching our young children to shake up themselves. No wonder the crime statistics are so high based on this morning's Guardian. Our young girls are out of control simply because they are not being taught the principles of God's Word.
Yes, Brother Taylor? Anything else?
No, that's all. You all have a nice night.
You too. Thanks for calling.
You know, Brother Paul, you made a comment twice for the night saying that religious leaders are petitioning the government. I find it hard to believe that religious leaders in this nation have that much free time on their hand that they can go and petition the government when there's so many people in this land that need to hear the gospel.
Amen.
I mean, they can identify multitudes of people that they know, that they claim that they know, are known homosexuals. Well, if they know these people are homosexuals, then they need to stop petitioning the government, park up their Bibles in their bikes, and go out and preach the good news of the Savior and lead these people to Christ. Why do they have so much free time on their hands, Brother Paul?
Well, I'm going to answer as soon as we take this call. There's something else came to my mind as you're speaking about the ministers and petitioning. There are also some on the bottom bag of petition the minister, their Deputy Prime Minister, Mrs. Cynthia Mother Pratt, to go and hang the young men on death row. And I like to take a mini poll. Maybe they can call in right quick. We only have a few more minutes left. How many ministers are went to minister to those guys on death row before they tell Mrs. Pratt to pull the trap? As a matter of fact, I've yet to find one minister who is willing to go and pull the trap on behalf of Jesus. Because that's who you're working for. If you should go and pull the trap, you're working on behalf of Jesus. And you're going to say, you know something? I'm going to give you your just reward right now. I'm not going to wait till Jesus comes. Right now, I'm going to pull that trap. So, Mrs. Pratt, whenever you're ready, just call me. My telephone number is so-and-so, and I'll go kill him for you. But none. I know no minister I've ever called a press conference if you're trying to get to the prison to minister to those young men who were sitting on death row.
Let us go to line two. Brother Smith?
Good night.
Yes, good night, sir.
I'm going to try to be brief as possible.
Please. Please.
There's a gentleman who made a statement earlier when he said that any day could have been the Sabbath. I can sort of clarify to it that God could have chosen any day of the week and say, and he blessed and sanctified and say, worship me on this day. But because of God's divine wisdom towards mankind, he put it at the end of the week so that man could rest perfectly. And it was in man's best interest because God chose the end of the week than the middle of the week. You know what I'm saying? And then another thing, I'd like for you guys to read Hebrews chapter 4 and starting from verse 4, I guess from verse 1, but verse 4, and concentrate on verse 8 so the hearers could listen to it. I'm not going to read it. I'll let somebody in the city read it. I'm going to hang up and listen.
I'll read it for you, Brother
Thank
Smith.
Thank you very much, Brother Smith.
But you know, just to add to what you said, Brother Smith, Jesus also could have said, you, being mankind, you pick a day and you bless it and you hallow it and you make it holy and you rest on that day. You just go ahead and you choose any old day that you want. You bless it, you sanctify it, you make it holy, and I, the Lord Jesus, will meet you on that day. All heaven will meet you on that day, and we'll keep that day that you decide to be holy. That's not what the Bible says. He set aside the day, ladies and gentlemen. He blessed the day. He sanctified the day. He made the day holy. Not us, not man. We can't set aside any day, but we follow his commandments in love.
As always, as we come closer to the end of the show, our phone lines seem to light up more at the end of the show.
So I'll make it quick.
Let's go to the phone line right quick, and then we'll read it.
Just keep these comments.
The call might be along that line.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Flowers from Andrew.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, my comment is that God judges us by the law.
Yes.
Therefore, if God did not leave evidence or leave truth so that the Sabbath could not be destroyed, how will it be when the day of judgment comes for God to judge us and we as individuals do not know which day was the Sabbath? All educators across this land know that THE is a definite article, not a Sabbath. If I said, bring me the chair, I am talking of a specific chair. I am not saying, go and bring me a chair. It's a definite article, therefore it points to a definite thing. Our God is a wise God. He is a just God, and he will not leave his people in darkness, so that when the time comes for judging, you will have no excuse.
Amen.
That is my comment, and thank you.
Amen. Thank you very much for calling.
Anonymous lady? Hello.
Hello. I a quick statement.
Go ahead.
Well, actually, not a statement, actually.
Listen to us.
The
don't
Bible
listen to
the states, I can't remember exactly where, right? But I remember because of a teacher at my school who is Adventist, this question comes up a lot about us Catholics that worship, well, everybody else other than Adventists, that worship on Sunday instead of Sabbath. And that the Catholic Church remove the Sabbath and change it. But I'm going to hang up the phone, and then I want you to respond back to it. There is the Jewish Sabbath, which the Adventists still follow. And then there are the Catholics and the Protestants who worship the Sabbath Sunday, being the day after the Sabbath, the resurrection. I want you to respond to the day after the Sabbath, the resurrection, that where Catholics and Protestants
worship,
you that follow the Jewish tradition and you worship on Saturday.
Yes,
I'm gonna
hold on. No, before you go. Before you go. Hello?
Yes.
You said the Jewish Sabbath.
See, the Catholics worship the resurrection.
No, let me ask the question first. You said the Jewish Sabbath. I think we've read the Exodus 20.
In Exodus,
We read Exodus 20 verses 4 through 8 at least about 2 or 3 times. Hello?
Yeah.
And I don't think it ever says Jewish.
But you worship, you.
No. You said the Jewish Sabbath.
If you go.
No. Hold on, miss. Hold on. All due respect. But you said the Jewish Sabbath, right?
Mm-hmm. Y'all follow the Jewish law. Y'all follow the Jewish law about the Sabbath. But the Catholics and the Protestants,
we follow
the resurrection.
Ma'am.
And if you were to read, even when Mary Magdalene and all of those came to the tomb, you will see in the Bible, I think it appears about 4 or 5 times that it says the day after the Sabbath.
Right.
The day after the Sabbath will be the Sunday for us, and that is what we worship.
Yes.
So I'm going to hang up.
No,
and
ma'am.
I'm going to listen. No,
ma'am.
I am going to hang
ma'am.
Up
ma'am.
Because I want to hear
no.
you.
No, but see, you cannot. You got to answer my question. You said the Jewish Sabbath, the Bibles that we have here, the King James Version.
I clarify myself, and I said you follow the Jewish tradition.
That the laws were not.
And we follow the resurrection. We worship the resurrection.
Okay.
The day after.
All right.
So I'm going to hang up and I want you to respond. Thank you.
All right. Mitchell, go ahead, please.
Good night. I just was going to, that same point with that lady brought out, right? What happened is so many Christians, they use the Christian faith and they move it away from where the root of the Christian faith is. If you follow in Christ, you follow in a Jewish man. And that Jewish man followed his father's law. Now, the Jews didn't own no law or anything. Now, if you look at Romans 11, Romans 11, 17 directs us as to who we are, you know. From verse 17, it says, and if someone, now I read from a different version.
Romans what?
Romans 11, look at verse 17 and onward.
Go ahead.
And if some of the branches were broken off, and you, being a wild olive tree, have been grafted in among them. You see, we as Christians, we think we are different from those Jews, but then we were grafted in. If you are of Christ, you are of Abraham's seed.
Amen.
Now, we have been grafted in among them and came to share the root and fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches. And if you boast, remember, you do not bear the root, but the root bears you. See, now, a lot of Christians don't realize this, and I hope they're looking at Romans 11, verse 19. You shall say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted, and we are brought into a fellowship, you know. We are brought into a fellowship that was already there. This ain't nothing new. See, a lot of people think this is something so new. This ain't nothing. Christianity is nothing new. All we're doing is following Christ. We are brought into a fellowship which people who didn't believe. You see, and verse 20 said, good. By unbelief, they were broken off. Talking about the Jews. And you stand by belief. Do not be arrogant, but fear. For if Elohim did not spare the natural branches, he might not spare you either. See then the kindness and sharpness of Elohim on those who felt sharpness, but toward you kindness. If you continue in his kindness, whose kindness? His kindness. Otherwise you shall be cut off too. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, shall be grafted in. That means those same Jews, all they have to do is believe in Christ, and they'll be put right back, for Elohim is able to graft them in again. So we have to really be wary on what we say, because Christianity has now taken a turn where Christianity is offset from the root, which is what God has prescribed. And that's a dangerous place where Christianity is right now, because we have forgotten who our true maker, who is the root. We don't want part of the root. We're making our own tree now.
Thank you very much for calling.
I'd like to read just one verse out of Matthew chapter 15, and I won't comment on it. And it says, verse 3, but he answered and said unto them, why do you also transgress the commandment of God by your tradition?
Go ahead, caller. Hello.
Good night.
Yes, sir.
How are you all doing?
I'm okay.
I should have tried and catch you guys earlier because I don't think my call will do much justice to what's going on. But let me say this.
You only have a minute. You only have a minute.
Yeah, this Sabbath question, let me just pinpoint this. It's a highly misunderstood concept by a lot of folk.
We know Bradley. Think,
Bradley.
It is Bradley, yeah.
Bradley.
The only way to sort this out
is
to try to make a distinction with the covenants, okay? Because
with Bradley, we're not going to have the time for it because we got six more minutes. So the best thing for you to do, call us tomorrow. We'd be willing to do this next week. If you're willing to give us some sponsorship money, we'll be here next week again.
Next week, the same day and same time.
If you could help us with some sponsorship money, you could only help us just if you just give us 20%.
That's not a problem. So, that's not a problem, Paul. But my point before I hang up is that there's a covenant that God made with the nation of Israel when they came out of Egypt.
Yeah.
And that covenant, according to Hebrews chapter 9, or Hebrews chapter 8, is the Ten Commandments.
Amen.
And then there's another covenant that God made with the world through Jesus Christ. And that is called the New Testament covenant.
Amen. If you want to
be covenant of grace then.
So grace is not the Old Testament.
Don't put words in my mouth. Here's what
I just asked you the questions. We go down the road together.
Well, here's what I'm saying. It says the law came by Moses, but grace and truth came to Jesus Christ. We need to understand what is that grace that is being spoken of. But anyhow, before I have my point is this.
Make your comment quickly.
There is not a single command by Jesus Christ in the New Testament for anybody to keep the Sabbath. It's not there.
All
if
right.
you want to see the Sabbath command, you have to go to the Old Testament.
Amen.
Because it's not in the New.
Amen.
But anyhow, we can get on that.
Okay, brother. Thanks
All
for
right?
calling.
Yeah,
All right. Thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's been an eventful evening. And what I'd like to say is that I don't want any of our listeners going away thinking that we are our Turning Point Ministries, or the Turning Point Ministries is about attacking any church. That is not our task. That is not what we seek out to do. We just read the information, and as they have it written, that's all we do, and we compare it with Scripture. That's all we ask. That's all we admonish in the Scripture to do. Compare, check. Come now and let us what? Reason together is our opening text, is our text for our program. The Lord said, come now and let us reason together. Reason? Let us reason it out and see what it said. Now we only have about 3 more minutes, so we're going to give about a minute each to Brother Paul and Brother Renrick for their last and final comments. Brother Renrick?
You know, Jesus says to us in John chapter 14 and verse 15, what does he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. You know, the center of all of this is love. If we love Jesus, if I love my wife, I'm not going to commit adultery. If I love the Lord, I'm not going to disobey his word or go contrary to his word. If you love me, keep my commandments. How do we keep it? Not of our own strength, not of our own power, but by faith. By faith and through the empowering of his Holy Spirit, we will be obedient to his word. And my encouragement to all of you listening here tonight, and the same encouragement that we started the show with is the same encouragement that we will end the show with. And my encouragement to you is to search the Scriptures for yourself. In the Scriptures you will find truth. In the Scriptures you will find life. In the Scriptures you will find Christ, not the traditions of men. Search the Scriptures for yourself, ladies and gentlemen, and compare it to what the ministers are saying, what the books are saying, to what the members of Turning Point is saying. And whosoever is deceiving you, whosoever is telling you a lie, then they that you throw out. Beware of the false prophets, false Christ that Jesus said will arise in the last days. They are here. Search the Scriptures for yourself, for they are the defense against the deception.
Ladies and gentlemen, like Brother Paul mentioned earlier, Turning Point Ministry is a self-supporting ministry. A radio program that comes on Sunday at 2 p.m. on 1540 is supported by some of our listeners, and Brother Renrick, Brother Paul, and myself. Also, the call-in show tonight is sponsored again by some of our listeners, some of the persons who listen to us regularly, Brother Renrick, Brother Paul, and myself. If this program has been a blessing, or if you want to see more programs like this, we would ask you to give us a call at 322-6273, or you can write us at P.O. Box N8993, or you can visit our website at www.tpministries.org, or email us at tpministries@hotmail.com, where you could help to contribute so that we could bring on more of these programs. As you see, we bring them on for 2 hours, commercial free, and we open it up to all of the Bahamas to do. Now we're gonna let Brother Paul give the final comment on prayer. Go ahead, Brother Paul.
A whole lot has been said tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You know, the only thing I like to say to our listeners, especially those who call from the Catholic faith, is prayerfully and carefully go and sit down and talk with your priest. And I assure you, pray before you begin to speak, and I assure you, through the guidance of the Holy Spirit, he will tell you that what we are sharing with you tonight is the truth. There's no doubt in my mind. The Catholic priests are very honest. But for some reason, they think that at the end of time, God is going to work it all out. And who knows? You might be the one to encourage your priest to get up one of these Sundays and let the church know that the time has come for him to follow the truth as it is in Christ. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 15, verse 9, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Ladies and gentlemen, we'd like to say thanks to our ZNS staff, to our producer Kirk Johnson, and also my 2 daughters, LaTanya and Latoya Miller, for helping us out tonight. And every one of the ZNS staff, from the least to the greatest, all those who've helped us during the 4 years we have been here, those who empty the garbage, who put the water in its rightful place, the producers, the technicians, the general manager, everyone. They have treated us with real good if you have ZNS. They have given us counsel along the way to make sure we stay on the right path. And by all means, ladies and gentlemen, if you said anything to offend you tonight, please forgive us. That's not our purpose. Our purpose here is to preach the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. So on behalf of all the Turning Point team, my sister Marlene, who's not here, but she'll be here next week, and maybe she'll be in the studio with us to give you a health tip. And my sister Kathy, who write articles in the paper week after week on our website, On behalf of the whole nation of the Bahamas and the government officials and everyone, all ministers of the gospel, we love you from the bottom of our hearts. And we pray that one day, truly, we will fulfill that text that Jesus said, I pray, Father, that they may be one, as me and my Father are one. Let us pray. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, once again, we are most grateful and thankful and humble that you have given us an opportunity to speak to the nation tonight. Father, we pray that your spirit will not let them rest, but let your spirit strive with me and Brother Julian and all the members of our faith and the Christian people all around the world. That your spirit will continue to strive with men just a little bit longer, and that before it's a day too late, we all will be in harmony on one accord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. This brings us to the end of another Turning Point Presents program. And once again, we pray that this program has been a blessing to you. Good night, Bahamas, and may God bless each of you.
You are listening to Turning Point, a product of Turning Point Ministries, with host Julian Miller and co-hosts Renwick Bow and Paul Miller. This is AM 1540, the National Voice of the Bahamas.